Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
Far too often, it is that plastic pleasantness, that people-pleasing, and she's smiling through gritted teeth.
Nice, respectable, wholesome girl.
And it is leaving her frustrated and angry and resentful.
It's hard for you to establish your own identity.
Did the woman you just heard described sound an awful lot like you or someone you know? Well, it sounds like the definition of a Christian nice girl. And today on the Homeward broadcast, you're going to hear Dr. Jennifer Degler talking about the dangers of being a Christian nice girl and how being good, not just nice, is the way that God wants us to be. From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh, actually in the Homeward studios. In just a moment, you're going to hear part one of a conversation I recorded with Dr. Degler at the International Christian Retail Show in St. Louis not too long ago, talking about principles in her brand new book called No More Christian Nice Girl. We're so glad you've joined us, and now here's part one of today's program. Welcome to Homeward. Roger Marsh in the announcer's chair, the host chair for Jim Burns today, and talking with Jennifer Degler. We're talking about the dangers of being a Christian nice girl. And Jennifer is a new friend of the Homeward family, and it's a pleasure to have you on the broadcast today.
Thank you for having me.
Licensed psychologist and life coach, which I'm sure you're getting a lot of people saying, hey, my life isn't making any sense these days. I got laid off. We lost our house. Our marriage is falling apart. Or things are going really well and it's kind of scaring me. What's a typical life coach client like of yours?
It ranges. It can be a client who is looking to just grow in an area of their professional life. It might be a woman who just wants to get more organized at home. I have a niche where I work with people that live in a fishbowl, that are high-profile people or that are married to a high-profile person. And it's a stressful life when you live in a fishbowl.
I'll bet. Well, yeah, I'm sure you're a good friend to have along with them. A frequent speaker at women's events, founder of Creating Christian Change. That's your life coaching enterprise.
Yes.
You make your home in Lexington. Husband Jeff, two teenagers, Josie and Jake, just so no one feels left out.
Oh, they'll be thrilled you said their name
good.
On the
good,
radio.
Good. Glad to hear it. And co-author of a book. This is your first publishing effort with Paul Coughlin, No More Christian Nice Girl, Why Being Nice Instead of Being Good Hurts You, Your Family, and Your Friends. I don't know why that didn't all show up on my page here, but glad I have a copy of the book. You describe the typical Christian woman as frustrated, fearful, and fake. Why is that?
That is because her niceness is false. It is a plastic pleasantness that underneath, she's a people pleaser. And she's saying yes, not out of love, but out of fear of conflict and rejection.
This is a Why would any Christian woman in her right mind want to stop being nice, though? I mean, we go to
that
church, you
question.
Go to, and people, you know, everywhere you go, it's like, oh, I just love her. She's so nice.
She's just the nicest girl.
Bless her heart.
Bless her heart. Well, and if, in fact, by nice, you mean kind and caring and compassionate, then yes, we want women to be nice. But far too often, women, it is that plastic pleasantness, that people pleasing, and she's smiling through gritted teeth. And it is leaving her frustrated and angry and resentful, as you said.
Did you ever go through a season, or have you been through a season where you woke up one day? I mean, I know Paul Coughlin, your co-author, wrote a book called No More Christian Nice Guy, where he said, whoa, that was kind of me. You know, I was Mr. Appropriate, and I had to figure out how to be a real, genuine guy. Did you have one of those seasons in your where you said, I'm a Christian nice girl?
I made myself miserable trying to make everybody else happy.
Wow.
And it ends up affecting all of your relationships because it's such an energy drainer.
Yeah.
And then there's anger that gets stored up on the inside. And so, yes, I write from this from a professional perspective as a clinical psychologist, but also from a recovering nice
recovering.
Girl.
Recovering,
yes.
Yeah. Okay,
yes.
Well, that's good. Nice girl in recovery. A lot of pastors and churches, you go into church and when you see where the Christian nice girl is born. A lot of times it's at home, but a lot of times at church too. And it's women who have a faith experience, but they're hearing about tender Jesus, loving Jesus, kind of Hallmark card Jesus, and not all of Jesus, because let's face it, I mean, he was kind of confrontational too.
Roger, you are so right. It is that one-sided Jesus that just presents him.
Well, I read your book. That's why I'm right.
Well, Roger, thank you for reading the book. I hope you enjoyed it. Yeah, it's he's gentle and meek and mild, but that is only part of Jesus. We found that actually almost 20% of the verses in the four Gospels present Jesus as forceful and firm and offensive. Let's remember they killed the man.
Yes.
And, you know, we don't kill nice people.
Right, right, right.
So that sets women free to be much more than just a passive doormat, smiling doormat. If they're going to follow the real Jesus, then they have to follow what we call the 360-degree Jesus, the whole man.
Yeah, I like the way you put that in the book about the kind of the what not to wear thing. You got the mirrors around, you get up on the stand, the thing, and say, let's take the whole look here.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so you put yourself in that 360-degree mirror, but instead of critiquing your clothes, you look at your behavior and your attitudes, and you say, am I really reflecting the full image of Christ? Or just Miss Manners with a cross around her neck.
Jennifer Degler is here with us today on the program. We're talking about the new book, No More Christian Nice Girl, Why Being Nice Instead of Good Hurts You, Your Family, and Your Friends. I think about that 20%, and you were talking about the fact that there is that tough side of Jesus. There is that that forceful, confrontational side of Jesus. And I wonder if some women might use that as a license to bully. Or I was thinking of another word that starts with B that is associated with that type of behavior, too. Talk about what happens if it goes in the other direction. Why would somebody who acts that way, and then when you try to confront them, they say, well, I'm just, you know, Jesus was forceful, and I'm being that way, too. I mean, I'm just exhorting you, you know, with that kind of hide behind Scripture.
That would mean that she is ignoring Ephesians 4:15. Mm. Speak the truth in love. And actually, the verse says, instead, speaking the truth in love. Let us all grow up into the full image of Christ, who is the head. So it's that idea of gracious firmness. So you're speaking the truth, but instead of hacking away with the sword of truth on somebody, you're pointing with the sword of truth. And that's that difference between hurt and harm. If you hack away with somebody with your words, you could cause lasting harm to them.
Yeah.
But if you are speaking the truth in love, you may hurt them, but you won't cause them lasting damage. You won't harm them. It's like going to the dentist. Sometimes it hurts when you go to the dentist, but they're not really harming you. They're helping you grow, helping you be more healthy.
Well, I was thinking of just a surgeon. A friend of mine just had surgery recently, and thinking about what would happen with the surgeon and the scalpel and the lasers and all they do if they just went in there randomly and started cutting instead of going after the... I went in for surgery recently on my heel, and it was very apparent that I had a bone spur on my left heel, right in my Achilles tendon, and the right foot was fine, and yet they still went in and put a purple X on my left heel to make sure they didn't do it in the wrong spot.
Yes.
And then they, with skill and accuracy, went ahead and made the right cuts, and now I can move my foot again, which is nice. But I think about if they'd just gone through and said, hey, let's just start cutting, I might not have any feet left.
Well, and think if they had done it without anesthesia.
Oh, yeah.
Okay?
Then there's that.
Because that's the love part, is that it doesn't have to be, when someone speaks the truth to you, it doesn't have to rip you to shreds, just like if they had done that surgery on your heel with no anesthesia.
Right, right. Go after what needs to be removed.
Yes.
There's a, I guess it's poetry, I don't know, it's a children's verse, you know, what are little boys made of? What are little girls made of? And boys, of course, there's frogs and snails and puppy dogs' tails. Though I heard one person say whales and snails and puppy dogs' tails. I'm like, whales?
It's actually snips and snails, but nobody knows what a snip is.
So that take your pick. It's a frog, it's a whale.
Yes.
Okay, and then little girls, of course, are?
Sugar and spice and everything nice.
And that doesn't sit well with you and Paul.
It really doesn't, because that is very limiting to women. And in our culture, and really all across the world, that's how little girls are raised. And they're taught, if you want to keep your relationships, then you have to be sugar and spice and everything nice. Don't get angry. And if you do, you better stuff your anger. Don't express your real needs. Don't express your opinions. And so they end up following that nice girl culture that says, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all.
Yeah. And that's ridiculous.
Well, and it's not Christ-like.
Yeah, that's true.
So what they end up following are we say, follow God. Don't necessarily follow the rules. And the nice girl rules are things like, you know, sit quiet and look pretty.
Yeah, exactly. I think about something that you wrote in your book, No More Christian Nice Girl, that was really kind of an aha moment for me, where you were unpacking the difference between salt and sugar and why the sugar and spice thing really doesn't fly. Maybe it doesn't sound as great to say little girls are made of salt, but But talk about why salt is so important.
Well, if you think about salt and sugar, sugar is delicious. However, it actually acts like a poison in your body. You don't need sugar to live. You need salt to live. Salt preserves things, and salt brings flavor to things. And so we're encouraging women, you know, Jesus said to be the salt of the earth, not the sugar of the earth. And a saccharine sweetness, that is not going to attract anybody to Christ, and it's also not going to work in relationships. Over time, you end up with this whole harvest of unsatisfying relationships, whereas salt is, you know, we all need a little salt on our table. We don't have shakers of sugar on our table.
Right. Well, it seasons. Mm-hmm. It preserves.
Yes.
It brings out the flavor. If salt is doing what salt's supposed to do when it's salty, then it really is so essential and good for us in so many different ways. I think about my younger daughter and I are getting into distance running. And much to the chagrin of her doctor, she's currently in a walking cast because she kind of overdid it. But I think about what we do pre-run and then what we do post-run. And especially when, you know, as you kind of replenish.
Yes.
And what you sweated out, what mm-hmm. you worked out during the workout. And sometimes you need more than just a little bit of water to kind of rehydrate. You think about how much salt you lost, how much, you know, the real essential fluids that you lose when you are getting a workout, and replacing those on a regular basis. So salt is essential.
We don't
think of girls as salty, but maybe we need to be, you know, thinking in terms, especially as parents, of making sure that our daughters have a certain saltiness to them.
And it's that speaking the truth.
Yeah.
Because if you think about salt in a wound, it stings, right? And the truth can sting at times, but the truth spoken in love is not going to wound permanently. But it may sting. I think it's Proverbs 27:6 that says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are profuse. Another version says, better the slap of a friend than the kiss of an enemy. Yes.
But that makes sense.
Yes.
Certainly does make sense. It's a good reminder, and it brings us to the midpoint of today's edition of the Homeward Broadcast. I'm Roger Marsh, and for Dr. Jim Burns today here on the program, we'll hear from Jim at the end of the broadcast, but what you're listening to right now is an interview I had a chance to record not too long ago with Dr. Jennifer Degler. She and Paul Coughlin are the co-authors of a book called No More Christian Nice Girl, and if you read Paul's book called No More Christian Nice Guy, this is a perfect compliment for women, and we encourage you to listen to each of the next four programs here on Homeward, as we'll be talking about both of those books in depth. You know, Homeward is here to provide this kind of information for you because of your prayers and faithful financial support. Can't stress enough how important it is for us to hear from you, and also how grateful we are for your faithful financial support. Your gift today of $10 or $25 or even $100 or more really goes a long way toward helping us to continue this ministry and to further and grow it. And you can give a gift online at homeward.com or write to us through the mail at Post Office Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, the zip code 92693.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
All right, I'm off to the mall.
Oh, I didn't know you were going shopping. Who with?
Well, let's see. Mandy, Charisse, and Kelsey.
Oh, friends from church?
Actually, they're friends of Tina's.
So you're going out with our daughter's friends.
Oh, but there's this awesome sale at the mall, and they're so much fun to hang out with. I'm out of here.
Later.
It's one thing for parents to want to get along with their kids, but during the teen and preteen years, for many of them, it's their peers that are their number one influence in their lives. True, you can and should get to know their friends, but remember that as a parent, you can't be one of them, so don't. Children who grew up believing and knowing their parents will always be there for them can face most anything. And by the way, you can download a free copy of my tip sheet called Parenting Teenagers, When to Be There and When to Stay Away, when you go to homeward.com. I'm Jim Burns.
The dangers of being a Christian nice girl. That's our topic today here on the Homeward Broadcast. Jennifer Degler is with us. Dr. Jennifer Degler. It's good to have you along.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. No More Christian Nice Girl is the newest book from Paul Coughlin and Jennifer Degler. And it's been a recommended resource here for a very good reason and a good response to it already. And now it's great to kind of unpack some of these principles with you. Before the break, we were talking about the doormat syndrome. And I think about the woman who is trying so hard to be nice that she just kind of gets walked on walked over by a lot of different people in her world and may think, okay, well, this is just the way it's supposed to be. At least if they're wiping their feet on me, they're not taking it somewhere else. And I guess this is just my lot and this is the relationship. But you're not a big fan of the doormat syndrome at all. It's not, can't possibly be healthy. Talk about this.
No, because if we're looking at John 10:10, where Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly.
Yeah.
I don't see doormat anywhere in there. So the situation a woman will find herself in is she's angry about something that's happened at work, perhaps, or something happened at church, but she doesn't feel, she's afraid of confrontation with that person. So she doesn't express her anger appropriately to that person. Well, the anger has to go somewhere.
Yeah.
So it stores up, and then it will spill out on perhaps her family, her husband, where it's maybe a little thing that's happened. They've spilled milk, and she's just snapping, and she's furious about that.
Yeah, one more thing goes wrong, and I'm just going to lose it, and it just happened to be that.
Yes, or it can come out in a passive-aggressive way. So that's how she expresses her anger. And that's what doormat syndrome looks like. If you let yourself get walked on long enough, mm-hmm. a lot of anger gets stored up, and then it'll spill out. Mm.
What do you recommend to your clients? I mean, when a woman is recognizing this, do you find if you're counseling couples that the husband might be in a better position to kind of help his wife kind of deal with the doormat thing, or do you have to go straight to the source? I mean, is it a big revelation, a big aha when a woman goes, wow, I'm a doormat?
Well, by the time a couple comes to see me, they're usually so angry at one another. She's not particularly receptive to her husband helping her mm-hmm. with anything. But certainly helping a wife get comfortable with anger, because many Christian women erroneously believe that anger is a sin.
Mm.
And it's not a sin.
But
wrong.
What's a good way for them to kind of do? What's a healthy way? Just give us some practical advice.
So the Bible says that we are supposed to keep short accounts. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Mm-hmm. So as soon as something happens that you feel like, okay, this overstepped a boundary with me, or this is, I'm unhappy with the situation, you address it right then. And instead of attacking the person, you describe what happened. So instead of, you walk in the living room and newspapers are everywhere and your husband's laying on the couch.
Mm-hmm.
So you could either say, you just don't care about me and you don't care about this house.
Yeah.
And I'm the only one around here who ever does anything. Okay, now I can say these words because I might have said them at some point in my own marriage once or twice.
Just for research.
Right. But that is not going to help at all. Or you could describe the situation. You could say, there are newspapers all over the floor, and I would really appreciate it if you would pick them up before you take your nap, because it's disturbing to me to see the living room that messy. And you simply described the facts of what you see, and you said the impact that it has on you, and you've made your request for change, but you did not attack the other person.
Mm-hmm. And you didn't, I mean, you make the request, but the request is now it's on, the ball's in his court.
And he may not do it.
Right, right.
He may not do it. He may say, I'll do it after I take my nap.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always encouraging women, you know, you've got to give him some grace here. If he doesn't feel like getting up off the couch right then, you know, your mother's probably not going to drop by in the next hour. What does it matter?
Yeah.
Let him take his nap, and then he can pick up the papers. The main thing is, he responded to your request. Let him be an adult and have his own time frame.
Good. Love that. Women are hardwired for relationships. It should make them, I would think, perfect reflectors for Christ's love. But somehow, women more than men, I think, wind up people-pleasing more
we
than
do.
Any others.
We do. And I think that's because we are taught in our culture that if we're going to keep our relationships, then we have to hide our anger, and we have to a lot of times deny our own wants and our own desires.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a lot of work I do with women, is helping them to actually understand what it is that they need and they want, and then helping them to express that in a way that is appropriate.
Yeah. Talk to the people who, there are women, there are guys who love these women, who are underreactors. Now, I'm a lifelong underreactor. I have been accused of that many times. Something, you know, a meteor could drop in the building right now, and I would go, guys, notice anything different?
Roger, I want to pinch you now.
Go
just
ahead.
To see go. What you'll... Yeah. Oh, I'll pinch you harder.
I don't know why I am like that, but I think that I was really drawn to the section where you talked about the hidden cost of underreacting. And I know sometimes I think it's because I don't like to let things knock me off course, but then sometimes something needs to knock you off course and it doesn't. Talk about the nice girl who, and I say nice girl in quotes, who may be stuck in an underreacting mode, who sometimes needs to say, hey, wait a minute, that hurt. Wow, you really crossed the line with me, or, you know, in a healthy way, but to deal with it and stay current.
Well, we already talked about overreacting to that situation where you're exploding about something and you're overreacting. But oftentimes, girls who are Christian nice girls have been sort of taught life is to be feared and you need to underreact to what is happening. And you end up lying to yourself about what's really going on. I have a lot of women that I work with that they're in a marriage where maybe there's verbal abuse going on and they don't want to call it that. And they're underreacting.
Oh, he's just under a lot of pressure. He's just very expressive.
You
like
know,
that.
He just has a little temper problem.
Yeah, exactly.
His little temper problem.
Yeah.
And I'll say, you know, are your children affected by that? Well, you know, we all just kind of understand that when daddy gets that way, we just need to give him some space. They're underreacting to something that is actually a real threat in their home. Maybe he's not going to lose it and hit them, but yelling is abusive.
Painful childhood experiences. You refer to them in the book. I underlined this as a sifting process, and I thought that was a great word picture. Sometimes a Christian nice girl gets sifted. She winds up stuffing her pain. Sometimes she says, well, you know, I'm over it. Talk about this whole sifting process, what good can come out of it, but sometimes when there's hurt, it sounds like it's kind of dovetailing along with this underreacting.
It is. And we talk about in terms of harmful childhood experiences that contribute to the Christian nice girl problem. Really, if you have parenting on the two extremes. So on the one extreme, you have overprotective parents.
Yeah, and they overreact to everything.
To everything. And they're like helicopter parents hovering over their daughter, and they won't allow her to make any kind of mistake.
Sure.
So they train her, you know, life is to be feared and you have to get it just right and don't make any mistakes. And they end up being perfectionists and they tend to live really small because they're afraid of making a mistake and what might happen. And then they're like a deer in the headlights if trouble comes their way. On the opposite extreme, you have parenting that is abusive, whether that's verbally, sexually, physically, financially, spiritually, some type of abuse that girls learn, okay, I've got to hide my feelings because when I share my real feelings, I'm punished in some way. I need to numb myself. I need to deny the painful truth. And as a result, they end up with this this Christian nice girl problem.
Mm. What does a Christian nice girl in recovery, such as yourself, when do you start to see, you know, you're turning a corner? You know, take the last moments of this segment here and kind of give us some hope. You know, what are the first couple of signs that someone who has been a Christian nice girl starting to make the recovery, what is her progress going to start to look like?
She's going to see that conflict is the price you pay for intimacy. So situations where she would run from a confrontation, she would just simply smile, she would say yes, she would do anything other than risk someone's disapproval or someone being angry with her. She's going to take a risk and speak the truth in love, say no if she needs to say no, whatever that boundary is that she needs to do. And she's going to see her relationships begin to improve. And it's so exciting to work with women and see them do that.
Well, we've got a few pages more of questions to talk there. Can you come back next time? We'll continue this conversation.
I would love that.
All righty. Well, we will look forward to part two of my conversation with Dr. Jennifer Degler here on the next edition of the Homeward Broadcast. You notice the ambiance a little different. Here I am in the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific, and that interview was recorded at the International Christian Retail Show in St. Louis. You know, Jim, we've got a lot of resources here, and Dr. Jim Burns joining me back in studio once again to talk about one of the resources in particular that's brand new is a part of a partnership with our friends at Steadfast Companies, and it's about talking about the S word with our kids. Yeah, stewardship and saving and spending. Talk about these new resources that we have available to Homeward listeners and supporters as well.
Well, you're right, Roger. I'm very excited about them. I know a lot of families have really been impacted by the challenges in this particular economy.
Yeah.
And you know what? I believe that these changes can lead to a lot of what I would call teachable moments for our kids, for our grandkids, and even for our own lives regarding stewardship and just how important it is. Stewardship is more than just an issue of how you spend your money. It involves how you invest your time, how you care for the most important relationships in your life as well. And that starts with our relationship with God.
Amen.
But it's so key to so many things about our life. And Homeward has created a brand new set of tip sheets. I'm very excited about it. The tip sheets are about money and stewardship, and they're based on a series of well-known Bible stories that should be fairly easy for your kids to understand. But they also include some very practical tips for your whole family. You can start looking at these issues like giving and saving and even investing from more of an eternal perspective. great new tip sheets.
Well, we are very grateful to our friends at Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, to help us in partnering and putting these things together. And when you go to homeward.com, just hit the keyword steadfast. You go to homeward.com. On the left-hand side, you'll see the place for keywords. Type in STEADFAST. And then when the articles and tip sheet side comes up, there's two of them right there on the far right. Just hit that button. It takes you right to them. You can read them. You can use them with your family. Spouses can look at them. Married couples or parents, if you want to get together, talk about these principles for teaching our kids about biblical stewardship. And now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Be sure to join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward, where parents get real answers. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.